The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry, BillCurryFord.com. They've got storm savings. Take an additional $1,000 off any vehicle purchase. A portion of all sales will be donated to the Red Cross. This is an exclusive offer from Bill Curry Ford, family owned for 65 plus years. And on top of that, Ford has now made available for customers who have experienced a verified total loss or damage due to Hurricane Helene, they can get disaster relief employee pricing from Ford. Just ask at Bill Curry Ford. GM Sean Sullivan is there for you. He'll give you an Ira Kaufman discount on top of that. BillCurryFord.com. Remember, they will beat any advertised price. They are going to crush it. Just ask. And unfortunately, Hurricane Milton is on the way toward the Tampa Bay area. Horrible news of the day that another big storm is coming this way. Hopefully it disintegrates, but if it doesn't, you need to be prepared now, not when it happens now. That means Florida's Elite Restoration is a company you have to know all about now so you're prepared. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. 5-star Google reviews across the board. They handle disaster restoration. So if you have a flood, you call them. If you have your roof is blown off or you lost a piece of it, you call them. If you've got windows blown out, who knows what's going on, call them up. They are the best in the business. They cover the Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state, north and south. And of course, they've been real busy. And a lot of our listeners have used their services, including Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, who unfortunately needed them last year. And his house was destroyed again this year. Florida's Elite Restoration owner, Josh Martin, he's got an Ira Kaufman discount for you. Just mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira when you call. And if you need their services after a free evaluation, you will get $500 back, or maybe that's just money for your deductible. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Learn all about them. And the more you learn, the more excited you will be to use them if you really have a disaster.
You got to tighten up.
All right, Sage, we've all heard from our great sponsors there. I'm going to clear the floor for you, Ira, before Lee gets cracking, and myself as well. So many layers and elements to this crazy game, almost historic game in Bucks history. So, Ira, I'm going to ask you, what do fans really need to take away from this now that you've had time to digest it? And where do you really point your biggest two fingers of blame for what we saw?
Going forward, Steve, starting with the game in New Orleans, I think Bowles has to trust his secondary a little more. They made it way too easy for Kirk Cousins. And as Lee and I talked about in the days leading up to the game, when you don't pressure Cousins and you're not aggressive with your defensive scheme, he can carve you up. And 509 yards worth, the most in Falcons history. The Falcons have been around a long time. I mean, that's the most in Falcons history. The Bucs need to be embarrassed over that. Too many guys caught the ball. Lee, I didn't see a buck within 5 yards. Easy, easy throws. And, you know, that's in sharp contrast to the Detroit game, where I thought they were all over the Goff's receivers. I didn't like the pressure in the beginning of the game. I thought Cousins was way too comfortable. I know Winfield didn't play. And Lee, in a way, that game was a testament to how much they need Antoine Winfield. And people talk about Jordan Whitehead going out. Well, they didn't play well when Jordan Whitehead was in there either. Dean had a tough day. Tyke Smith looked like a rookie at times. McCollum was up and down. You can blame the offense in the second half, and I'm not letting them off the hook. They targeted Mike Evans twice in the second half. Lee had one catch. That can't happen. Not in a close game. But this defense, Cousins got whatever he wanted. Drake London looked like Michael Irvin. Mooney could have had even more if he didn't drop a pass with nobody around him at the 10-yard line. Bucks get a break there. Lee, I think they'll bounce back. You know, this is not a killer loss, but it's a troubling loss. If they get some people back, especially Winfield and Cansey, I didn't think Schooley was a big factor in the game. I thought Mayfield had enough time, but Lee, you can't be minus 30 in the snaps. You're minus 30 in snaps. You're going to have trouble winning that game unless you force four turnovers, and that didn't happen. But later, 3-2, the sky's not falling. But that's a game that should have went into the Bucks' win column.
Well, obviously it should have went in the win column. And who's to blame? Todd Bowles. He's the head coach. He's supposed to be the defensive guru. By the way, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. He's no longer a good defensive coach in my mind. Does he come up with some brilliant, and I mean brilliant, game plans? Sure. He's wildly inconsistent. For a good defensive coach. Ira, there's been 25 games in 104 years of the NFL that a quarterback has thrown for 500 yards. He's been a part of 12% of them. Now think about that for a moment. Has Belichick had more than one game where he gave up 500 yards? Parcells? Do I need to, you know, Mike Tomlin? Do I need to rattle off the? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And I don't want to hear anything about injuries because you know what? Do the Panthers have the talent that the Bucs have? The talent the Bucs had on the field Thursday night, is that equal or better than what the Panthers currently have? I would say the Bucs still had better talent than the Panthers. Panthers haven't given up 300 yards passing yet this year. So I don't want to hear about all the injuries, all Antoine Winfield. They shut down Detroit without Antoine Winfield. Give me a break. Horrific game. I'm not willing to say this is not a killer game. This reminds me of when the Bucs choked against Detroit back in 2010. That cost them playoffs. This reminds me of that garbage game up in Cleveland when Todd Bowles pulled the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. They had a losing record. But for the grace of God, they would have not been in the playoffs if the division wasn't so horrible. I'm not willing to go there. This isn't a killer shot. This was terrible. Is there plenty of time to make up for it? Sure. But if the Bucs miss the playoffs or don't win the division by one game, right here, point to Thursday night, right there. Kirk Cousins, next-gen stats, Kirk Cousins. No one has thrown for more yards inside the pocket since 2016. No one.
Wow.
But Todd Bowles absolutely refuses to go out or develop an edge rusher. Why is it that all the best teams have an edge rusher? Bowles has never developed an edge rusher, wants to turn them into cornerbacks. One reason I'm now convinced why the Bucs cannot develop an edge rusher is because their freaking coach tries to turn them into Jamel Dean. He screws with these guys' heads. I don't think Joe Tryon Chiyanka was drafted in the first round because of his coverage skills. I don't think Chris Braswell was drafted in the second round because of his coverage skills. They were drafted because they can get to the quarterback. But the head coach prefers these guys to be cover men, not pass rushers. I'm just about fed up. I like Todd Bowles. He's an awesome guy. Stop it with the defensive guru nonsense. Stop.
Excellent analysis, Lee. Steve, I'll throw this to you in this regard. And tell me if I'm exaggerating. Steve, all those completions by Cousins, I think 75-80% of them, there's no Buck defender in sight. They're not in sight. They're wide, wide open. I don't understand that.
Everybody watches every week Zion McCollum playing tighter coverage than Jamel Dean. And there's no reason for that. And over and over and over, Dean gives cushion after cushion after cushion, and he keeps getting burned. Now they're keeping everything in front of him, but when you're giving up 500 yards, who cares if it's in front of you or behind you? It doesn't help. And they're so paranoid. Dean has become so scared of anyone getting behind him that, okay, great, so he's a pretty good tackler, but he lets guys catch the ball in front of him. And look at that last play of regulation. Kirk Cousins decided, you know what, we're not going to throw a quick 3 yard out with 12 seconds left on and try to get a closer field goal. We're going to go over the middle of the field because we're confident we're going to get the cushion and that we can hustle up and spike the ball. So Dean is covering Drake London on a slant, and there's the cushion again. He can hit him within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. There's the cushion. He catches it, gets his decent yardage. And of course, Dean, who was criticized by Bowles but without being named, and Gerald McCoy criticized him without being named after the game, he doesn't lay on the guy. He bounces off him like he's got body odor. You know, instead of just, okay, I tackled him. And they're taught this situational stuff in training camp. You tackle an offensive player when the offense needs to save time and they're scrambling to get in field goal range. You lay on the guy. You don't get up. You know, you count to two and then you get up. And if he did that, the game's over. But, you know, they didn't do it. I don't understand the cushion, Ira, but I thought Gerald McCoy said a great thing. He didn't say we couldn't make the proper adjustments. He said on NFL Daily Podcast, he said we wouldn't make the proper adjustments. That's a quote. I don't know what the heck we was doing, said McCoy. Cousins was finding those holes in our zone all night. And it's the same thing he did against Philly. And we didn't adjust. Sage, let me throw this to you. I'm not concerned about the loss. I did call the loss here, right here. I thought it would be a high-scoring loss. Todd Bowles gives up these kinds of easy yardage game after game after game. I don't know why. And of course, part of it's tied to the pass rush. The blitzers aren't getting through this year. Winfield isn't there. Devin White used to get through a lot better. It doesn't mean they're never getting to a quarterback, but yeah, four sacks, big deal. When the guy drops back 62 times, that's two games worth. And as Lee's pointed out many times already, it's not from the edge rush most of the time. So it's messy, but I'm not concerned, Ira, because I saw an offense that, again, three out of five games is capable of lighting up the scoreboard. The quarterback is playing great. And when your quarterback is playing great and the offense is getting more consistent, you're probably going to win a lot more games going forward.
I see your point, Steve. Mayfield played a fine game. I thought his running instincts were excellent Thursday night. He made some critical first downs with his legs, which you don't necessarily associate with Mayfield. He was accurate. I think Liam Cohn did a pretty good job. Lee, the problem, 51 snaps. Now, you look at the other side with 81, but Lee, from a Buck offensive standpoint, 51 snaps, that's way too low. The running game was good. Lee, I'm sure you fell off your armchair when Rashad White went down the sidelines for 56 yards. You were stunned, as
first
I was.
First time in, what, 400 and some snaps?
Bucky Irving, you know, he fumbled. He did fumble. The guy made a great play. Bates, he's a fine player. Yeah. But I like Irving. Every time he runs the ball, I think he could go the distance. But, Lee, here's my point about the game, which is driving Buck Nation crazy. Well, yeah, I think the only guy that really, you know, could walk away from that game with his head held high is Logan Hall. I mean, yeah. How many, you know, it's kind of crazy that we would say that. He was outstanding. Lee, maybe he's coming around. Maybe you get Kancey back. Maybe you got something going up front. I saw that Steve pointed out that Vita Vea was not on the field in that crunch time. Trying to figure that one out, Lee, but... Lee, when your best player is Logan Hall coming out of a game, that's trouble.
You're probably losing, yeah. You know, I will say this, and Steve has brought it up, and I think it's worrisome in a big picture. You know, Steve said if Lavonte David just knocks the ball down and fourth down, they probably win. I can't argue with that. But you know what? This is what happens when your head coach is so obsessed with turnovers, not points. You don't think Lavonte David... and, you know, with all his experience and all his years, probably knew the best thing to do would be knock it down. But how many times do you think he's heard his coach in his ear? Takeaways. Subconsciously, he probably, you know, forget his fourth down. I need to get a turnover or my coach is going to get mad. Or, and I don't know this, but it wouldn't surprise me, or do these guys get fined for dropping a pick? To me, that's just evidence of the overemphasis on takeaways. It's points. It's not takeaways. Like Bill Walsh always said, you play good football, good things happen. You don't, you know, just do your job and do it well. If you get a takeaway, great. I guess Todd Bowles and I, we're just on two different levels. He doesn't believe in a pass rush. I believe in a pass rush. He believes in takeaways over points. I believe in points over takeaways. Maybe I'm a weirdo. I don't know.
You know, Lee, that's an interesting point about the Lavonte David interception. Steve, if he does not get down, the Bucs, you know, get the ball deeper in Atlanta territory. Maybe the holding call doesn't knock him out of field goal range, but, you know, the interception was right there for Lavonte. His instincts took over.
Yeah, Steve, but Sage, here's the thing. I brought it up originally as soon as it happened because those guys, again, they practice. They spend all this time in meetings practicing situational football. So they know that in that situation – don't catch the ball. Knock it down. Right? They're telling all the defensive backs, because we don't know if Kirk Cousins was going to go for an even deeper shot. They're being told, you know, don't catch it deep. Knock it down. Save the yardage. So he didn't do it. So either nobody told him and the Bulls didn't, you know, put it in the ear of whoever was wearing the green dot last night. It's just a little thing, but they work on those little things. So that's all. You know, I get what Lee's saying. It's probably very much so a cultural thing, and it came back to bite him in the ass since it wasn't top of mind. Hey, don't catch it.
You know, Lee, having said that, and your point is well taken about situational football, smart football. But Lee, having said that, when David made that interception, I ran down to the locker room because I thought, along with 98% of Buck Nation, this game is over, Lee. This game is over. And I guarantee, you know, with the computers and the percentages, At that point, I think the Falcons had a 5% chance to win that game. It's not less.
He took the words out of my mouth. ESPN analytics had the Falcons with a 4% win probability.
I didn't even know that, Lee. And, you know, the play calls, Lee, the play calls when the Bucs went on offense at that point.
Oh.
And the Barton hold, somebody told me that Bucky Irving is half to blame for that hold because he didn't hit the hole as prescribed and he cut it back. And Barton didn't know what to do because Irving didn't follow the plan. Well, he's a running back. Lee, if he sees an opening, he's going to try to take advantage of it. That hold was a killer. Lee, here's the part that killed me. It just kills me in retrospect. The guy misses two field goals in a row. Coup. He gets a chance to repent. He misses again. He gets another one blocked. Lee, Mooney drops the ball. McCollum or Dean, I forgot who, was like 20 yards behind him. Just drops the ball. I mean, it was right in the numbers. Lee, all night long. Am I wrong, Lee? All night long, I saw Atlanta face.
I heard about this. The Bucs angered the football gods. The football gods gave them so many breaks. The two missed field goals in a row. The blocked field goal. Logan Hall getting two sacks. Logan Hall and Mooney. I mean, they had so many breaks, and they gave it away.
And Steve, one more thing, and I made a note of it. Steve, every time I turned around, the Falcons were in first and 20. It wasn't like the Falcons didn't get any penalties Thursday night. They got a bunch of them. They were flagged more than the Bucs were on the night. And as Lee likes to say, first and 20, that's got to be a punt. That's got to be a punt eventually. And it didn't happen. It's going to be tough to get over, Steve, but I'm with you. Plenty of season left. They win in New Orleans. We're not yakking about the Atlanta game.
You were bringing up Bucky Irving and Graham Barton. I can't kill those guys. I can't kill those guys because they're rookies. Rookies play like rookies because they're rookies. They're rookies. Yeah. And I think you even mentioned it. They're rookies. My biggest gripe, I've written about it twice since the game's over with, and I beat this drum so much that I have to keep buying new drums because I bust the drums. And I know you don't like this, Ira. But this comes straight from the mouth of Nick Saban. It's not about plays. It's about players. And I'll repeat his story. He's a 15-year-old quarterback in high school. State playoffs. He's down by a touchdown. This is back in the days when the quarterback actually called the plays. They call a timeout. It's last minute of the game. They've got the ball in the red zone. Saban comes up to his coach. Saban said, "What do you want me to call?" And the coach said, "You've got the fastest guy in the state, a track champion, at left halfback. You've got a three-time All-State split end. I don't care what you call, but you better make sure one of those two guys gets the ball." Saban said that was his very first coaching lesson. You get your best players the ball. When the Bucs had a chance to put the game away, rather than getting the ball to their Hall of Fame receiver, rather than getting the ball to their All-Pro wide receiver who's having a career year and has some of the best hands in the league, instead of that, you put the ball in the hands of the 24th rushing attack in the league. You deserve to lose if you're that stupid.
I made that point, and the league just reinforced it.
Sure. Yeah, the decision.
What happened to Mike Evans in the second half? Well, they weren't stopping him.
On that last drive, the decision after the TV timeout, the decision was to hand the ball off to Rashad White, which is insanity. And, there's no other way to say it. I could understand, you don't want to hand it off to Bucky Irving because he just fumbled, but then on third down, you handed it off, second down, you handed it off to Bucky Irving. So he's the better running back. So why did you go with the worst option first? And we didn't bring it up, but since Lee mentioned all the breaks that the Bucs got, the Falcons got a lot of breaks as well. I mean, that face mask call that was clear on Bucky Irving on the holding, I mean, that's a tremendous gift because there's a referee assigned to watch that. And it was clear. It wasn't even questionable. That was, outrageous. Tyke Smith forced a fumble on that final drive. It bounced out of bounds. But if that just bounces the other direction, the game's over. He's a hero. Bucks defense, aggressive, come up big. And, that was a very good bounce. And there's a lot I've seen on the internet that the Falcons, when they spiked the ball on with 1 second left, their tackles weren't set under the rule. And that it should have been over right there. So
that's a runoff.
So, I mean, there were breaks in both directions. other little things. We, you know, we've written about it, Ira. Did Liam Cohen decide, I'm going to run the ball with Rashad White? Or did Todd Bowles say, Liam, run out the clock here. Let's try to do it. So it's as if Todd Bowles ordered, as we called it, the code turtle. You know, he decided not to throw the ball. I mean, where's that easy wide receiver screen to Chris Godwin that always gets 4, 6, 9, 11 yards? I mean, he's
and keeps the clock running.
I mean, he's sure-handed. I understand he fumbled in that game, which has been forgotten, and Mike Evans recovered it brilliantly. But, man, it was just a colossal mess, and a lot of it is on Bowles. And I don't like Ira, it's just me, but a lot of coaches come off and say, I blew it. Todd Bowles is not that guy to come off the field and he'll say, we got to coach it better, we got to play it better, but he doesn't just say this loss is on me.
Lee, one point that needs to be stated in this podcast without going overboard. Somebody was exposed Thursday night, and I don't mean Carlton Davis because Dean Lee, because we've seen it too many times before. But I'm talking about KJ Britt.
Lee,
in pass coverage, they went after him. They were very successful. And as good as Lavonne David is in pass coverage, Lee, K.J. Britt struggles in pass coverage. I think that's a problem. And with Dennis injured, you know, they don't have a lot of options there.
First off, I like K.J. Britt. Love his attitude, like his work ethic, everything about the guy you like, except he's just not a starting linebacker in the NFL. Unless Todd Bowles changes his defense, I don't know if he will or not, but unless he changes his defense, I don't know if they can win the division after Thursday night with him playing inside linebacker full-time. Herb Street and Al Michaels were like, they were just incredulous how Atlanta was just going after him time after time after time. And Herb Street just came out and finally said, he can't play. He can't play. And it was there for America to see. Just not a starting linebacker in the NFL. Missing tackles, his pass defense was obvious. It was awful. And there's the blueprint. Every half-ass quarterback that the Bucs are going to face, they're going to attack him. What do you think Brock Purdy's going to do when the Bucs? What do you think Pat Mahomes is going to do when they play the Bucs? First thing they're going to look, 52. Where's 52? Where's 52? I mean, it's going to be bad. I don't know what the Bucs can do. I don't know if they're going to go out and make a trade. I don't know. I don't think there's a guy on the street that could play as well as K.J. Britton in pass defense. And I know there's some Bucs fans that are saying, hey, you can get Devin White for a bucket of old footballs, which is probably true, but I don't know if the Bucs want to bring the guy back or not, bring that attitude back. But that's going to be a major, major problem. When you're starting inside linebacker, he can't cover a thing.
Let's piss on any Devin White nonsense. It's not happening. It shouldn't happen, and it's not happening. So forget about that, Steve. You know, Lee mentioned K.J. Britt missing tackles besides the coverage. He's supposed to be one of the better tacklers on the team. It's one of his fortes. He's supposed to be a run stuffer. Overall, Steve, and I need you to address this, but I think going back, and it hurt him in the Denver game, both losses, the Denver game and the Atlanta game. Steve, they're tackling. It's subpar. They got to tackle better.
There's no excuse in week 5. And, you know, even on that final Falcons drive, the first pass was to Kyle Pitts, and they had him in coverage to strictly keep him from going out of bounds. Zion McCollum straight up whiffed. I mean, that's a huge target to just whiff. Lavonne David was there for help, but, you know, he got out of bounds, and that cost them a lot of time there. I don't know why it's bad. K.J. Britt, I was saying in the summer, it's very different when you pop in and are sharp late in the season with fresh legs and come in all fired up. It's another thing to grind as a starter every single week. He gets slower and slower, which I think is just a function of, you know, guys get beat up a little bit. This guy, J.J. Russell, is on the bench. He made a start last year and played pretty well. He's been here for 3 years. They got to see something in him. You know, maybe it's time to see what this guy can really do. Otherwise, we're going to see a lot of K.J. Britt.
Along with Logan Hall, if you want to throw in a bright spot, Lee, Sean Tucker made some plays back there. He did. He really got the offense in some good positions there, returning those kicks.
I'm really, to this day, really surprised that he didn't score a touchdown on one of those kickoff returns, because he had a convoy that guys dream of. He had like half dozen, seven guys with him. And somehow, I don't know if it was the punter, I don't know who it was, but somehow the guy made a hell of a play. Maybe there's a kicker, I don't know, but somebody made a hell of a play to weave through all those convoy of blockers and tackling. At any rate, I'm college football calls.
All right, Ira, we said goodbye to Lee, so we're about to hit the fourth quarter of this podcast, crunch time, and it's a great time to tell everybody again, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your company. If you have any sort of storm damage, roof damage, flooding, whatever it is, call them 24/7 before you call your insurance company. That's how, if you move forward with Florida's Elite Restoration, you can avoid getting burned by the corruption in the insurance business. It's ugly, and it's happening to people. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. You can learn about them there. They cover the Tampa Bay area and beyond, north, south, and east. Owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience in the insurance industry on the other side, so he knows how to fight the battle. He's your offensive coordinator when you've got storm damage. He's a great guy. Many of our listeners, unfortunately, needed his services, but that's what he's there for. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Check them out today. So they're part of your storm plan, and you're absolutely ready when the time comes. But stay safe out there. And, of course, as we spoke about earlier, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping today. They've got $1,000 off. There's special employee pricing for verified storm damage vehicles. That's through Ford. The Curry family is throwing an extra $1,000. BillCurryFord.com. Great service department. They've got loaner vehicles. They'll come and pick you up if you can't get to the dealership. They've got tow trucks available, Ira, which are very, very hard to find right now. Unfortunately, BillCurryFord.com. Reach out to GM Sean Sullivan. Mention Ira. You can get the Ira Kaufman discount on anything. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Sage. Leah had took off, but I got some more things for you, Ira. Logan Hall, only guy who can walk off the field with his head held high. I really think Mayfield played extremely well, Ira, and the organization has been looking for him to play back-to-back good games to show a high level of consistency. And right now, he's completing, it's just under 72% of his passes. He's already run for over 100 yards. He had about 160 yards rushing last year, and his career high is like 170. So he's already on pace to be more productive in more ways than ever before. He's on pace for like 37 touchdowns and 8 picks. What we're getting at quarterback, it's special right now, and I don't see any reason why it would not continue when the running game is there, to a degree, and getting better with Irving, and White obviously had the big run. But Gedeki hopefully comes back, and the offensive line hopefully continues to gel. I think the offense could eventually get to a point where they're scoring 28, 30 points a game. What do you think of that?
I don't think that's crazy. When you don't pressure Mayfield, and Atlanta's pass rush is lousy, Steve. It's lousy, no question. When you don't pressure him, he's very, very effective. His escapability continues to surprise me. I'm shocked. And, Steve, you started off with the 72%. Steve, that's Drew Brees. Now, I don't know if he can keep up 72%. Jaden Daniels will come back to earth. He's like 80%. That ain't going to hold. As bad as defenses are around this league. But Mayfield's doing a lot of good things. And even when he throws a pick, he doesn't throw two picks. Steve, without checking, he might have played only one game as a Buck where he's thrown more than one pick, and he usually doesn't throw any picks. He's playing at a very high level, Steve. You're right. His chemistry with Godwin is outstanding. He's starting to get Otten more involved. Shepard is helping. Shepard's become a factor. He scored a touchdown. He probably feels he should have had another. Evans is back in the flow. There's not a lot wrong with this offense right now. And, Steve, I dare say, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Schooley's playing better than he had. He's not become a factor. Again, Atlanta doesn't have, T.J. Watt coming off the left side. But, Judon, I didn't see much from him the other night, and he's a good player. I like the way this offense is rolling right now. 160 yards on the ground. Granted, it was a 56-yarder, but even without that, it was effective. And Mayfield's, critical runs really helps pad the total. But, Steve, I'll say this again. Although he fumbled, I believe Irving averaged 4.9 yards a carry. He's doing it week in, week out, Steve. This is not a one-off. I like this kid. He makes these cuts at the line of scrimmage. I'm not worried about fumbles being. I think that was his first career fumble, Steve, even in college. He had never fumbled before. The guy made a great play, Steve. That's why Bates is considered one of the best safeties in the league.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked about Irving many times. Obviously, he's special. It's not a joke. It's week in, week out, and defenses are game planning for him, and he opens things up. And it's a beautiful thing. He was on the field when Rashad White had that long run, and that goes back to the confusion that is created when both of them are on there. And it's about it's about keying on Irving, in my opinion. But White was a beneficiary and good run up the gut, and he fanned it out to the right.
Irving's first run of the game, it was off left tackle, our man Tristan Wirfs, and it was a 16-yard burst, first carry of the game.
I mean, it was more the pulling guards there, helping him out, but still, we'd love to see more running left, and I think there's a little more energy and juice when they know they're running to that side, you know, based on who's there. And
you're right. The right side of the line pulled very nicely on that play.
Sage, locker room. You were there. You've been around many big wins and big losses. There you are in Atlanta in the locker room. Tell fans what you're seeing.
Steve, I think it was a mixture of shock and bitter disappointment. They felt they gave this game away. Nobody was talking about the face mask to Irving. Most of the players hadn't seen the replay or whatever. And certainly they're not going to focus on that at the Mercedes-Benz Dome when the play shows up, the referee in the Bucks' favor. They were shocked that they let this game slip away. But everybody in unison, and I've got some quotes I haven't used yet. I'll use it on my next column. I talked to Cody Mauch. I've talked to Otten. I talked to Levante. And they were in lockstep without consulting with each other, Steve, that we're going to bounce back against New Orleans. We're going to put this game behind us. I don't think it's as easy as they're saying it, Steve, because of the nature of the loss. This wasn't the Denver loss, Steve. In the Denver loss, you stunk. You stunk, and you were never in the game, basically, behind the whole game. And you never really made a serious charge after scoring late in the half. This was different, Steve. There were times I thought the Bucks were in control. I wouldn't say complete control, but in control. The litany of things we went over that they could have capitalized on and failed to do it. But, Steve, this is a gritty team. They got over the Denver beatdown. This one was different. This was more like, hey, we gave this one away. I don't think it's going to linger, but this is the time for our leadership to step up and make sure it doesn't.
Yeah, I actually think in some ways they can pull a lot of positives out of this. It also puts them back in that underdog mentality, which I think they thrive in. And, they're going to need all the energy they can muster against the Saints team that is better than Atlanta. And I feel very comfortable saying that. We'll see what the Saints do against the Chiefs, though, and how sapped they might get on Monday Night Football. It's nice that the Bucks had that extra rest. So, Ira, you were spotted on the field in Atlanta. You had a field pass, which, working media, the print media type and digital and all that, they don't get to walk the field and hang out on the bench and all the stuff you were doing. Who were you talking to? How'd you get a pass like that? And give us a nugget. You had to have picked up something interesting.
Well, you're right, Steve. And in the past, I had always been able to get on the field pregame in Atlanta. That was the one spot. And each team makes their own policy. The Bucks do not let the working press on the field unless you happen to be from ESPN or whatever. So I asked about Atlanta, and the answer was no, you're not getting on the field pregame. So, Steve, you know me. Brooklyn boys don't take no for an answer. I go up the chain of command. Forget about the Bucks. They can't control what goes on in that stadium. I got to go to Rich McKay. He wields a big stick with the Falcon organization. A little text to McKay. Hey, can I get on the field pregame? He says, I'll look into it. He made a couple of calls. And sure enough, it will call. There's my pregame package besides my press box credential. Went down about an hour before the game looking for Arthur Blank, see if he calls me Irv. Couldn't get near him. He's always got an entourage around him. He's got six security guys. I looked for Raheem. He hadn't been on the field yet. So I kept walking, and now I make my way towards the Buck bench. I see Rapone sitting there. Had a few words with Rapone. I said, when you getting Winfield back on the field? He says, not soon enough, and he was in a great mood. Then I see Brian Ford around, and then lights walking by. I shout out Jason. He sees me somehow. Instead of walking away, he walked towards me. We had a nice little chat. He was in a great mood. Pre-game. I didn't see him post-game. Then I was trying to flag down a Glazer. There was Ed Glazer and Brian and Joel, of course. I didn't see Avi. I don't think he was there. But Ed made it in from California. God bless him. And they were chatting. Warwick Dunn came by just when I thought I was going to be able to grab Glazer. Warwick Dunn came by. He's involved with the Falcons. And, of course, a great Buck player for the Glazers, during their tenure. So they had a long chat and it was time to get back up to the press box. So when I went back, I see Mike Smith standing behind the Atlanta sideline. He gave me kind of a wry smile, Steve, kind of wry, because I, along with you and Lee, and I think deservedly so, we were all over Mike Smith towards the end of his tenure. I think it was the end of the 2018, midway through the 2018 season. He had been there 2.5 years for Cutter, and they dumped him, Steve. They dismissed him. He didn't finish that season, which was Cutter's last year. So I think he remembered that I didn't defend him or back. Steve, how can you defend him? I mean, the 2018 Bucks defense was horrible, just horrible. And Smith's got to take the bullet for it. So, you know, I said, how you doing? He's playing a lot of golf, Steve. He had seen Arians the day before at a function.
Sure.
And he mentioned to me that that day was Arians' birthday. So I texted Arians to wish him a happy birthday. 72, Steve. I finally met somebody that's older than I am. It was comforting. So Arians got me by a couple of years. But, you know, I wish I could walk the Bucks field pregame, but it's not happening, Steve. I might have to go see if somebody can help me in that regard. But it was just fun being out on the field before a game. A lot of excitement. By the way, Steve, do you think Raymond James Stadium is loud on game day? Steve, you got no idea what goes on in Atlanta. It's nonstop. Hip-hop music, country music, whatever it is, and loud. The whole freaking game. They don't let 1 minute of silence go by. I don't know what the rules are. They got it all going over there, and it's loud. Steve, you've been here.
Yeah.
You've been in Atlanta. Yeah. It's loud.
Yeah, it's just part of the culture, especially with the music. It's just, and they could have opened the dome the other night. They didn't open it up. They wanted it as loud as possible. All right, Ira, look, painful game for Bucks fans, difficult times. And Lee's all fired up. I'm just not as fired up because I thought they would lose a couple of division games this year, and this is one that was in my pocket there. So what can I tell you?
You know what it did, Steve? You know what it did, in essence? It took away a nice cushion. 4-1. That's a nice cushion, Steve, going into the teeth of the schedule. We've always talked about how the closing schedule is favorable, and it is. But, you know, here comes the Chiefs and the 49ers and the Ravens. And the Saints are no pushover. And a rematch against Atlanta, Steve. That's a tough gauntlet. 4-1, you know, all of a sudden, you don't have to go 4-1 in those games.
Well, sure. The tough situation is that it's a game you should not have lost. You can't come out and score 24 points in the first half on the road and lose. You just can't do that, especially when you've got a defensive coordinator who's supposed to be able to adjust, who's supposed to be able to you know, Kirk Cousins is an easier guy to play against. Because he doesn't move. So, but they couldn't find a way.
Little nugget to drop on you. You've been really good with some of these metrics. I got one for you, Steve. Now, you talked about how keep the ball in front of you, make the tackle, and make them go a long way, you know, and have a 15-play drive. Steve, they didn't have to do 15-play drives, and I'll tell you why. 7 Cousins completions of 20 yards or more. Steve, that's not a cushion to give up a 5-yarder. 7 completions of 20 yards or more. That's a big number. So when Bowles looks at that, you got to tighten up. I love the way they contested balls at Ford Field, Steve. I think that was a big part of that victory. And they, you know, they made Goff look pedestrian. And even when he completed balls, they contested him. There's a guy right there fighting for it. I didn't see it Thursday night. You didn't see it Thursday night. Way too passive, Steve. Against a team that I don't think has great offensive weapons. I wouldn't say they played scared, Steve, but they didn't play smart.
Yeah, and Bowles was straight up asked the next day about, you know, and usually he doesn't take the bait on all this kind of stuff, but he was asked, hey, the middle of the field seemed to be open all night. He didn't say it wasn't. He said, quote, yeah, we were not where we were supposed to be. I mean, I you know. It's kind of devastating when you hear that from the head coach, but I'm sure they will bounce back, Ira, and we're going to bounce back as well with more podcasts next week. And we appreciate everybody who subscribes to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Leave a review. We always take the feedback. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, Ira, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, they are there for you 24/7. Storm damage, fire, flood, mold. Mold can creep up not too long after water damage that you've had, and maybe you don't think it was so bad. Mold is awful, and you need a mold remediation specialist. Mention the Sage when you first call, and you will get $500 back if you need their services. And of course, we talked about all those amazing offers for storm victims at BillCurryFord.com. And of course, they're just got their usual fantastic family-owned service at all times. So that's for everybody. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today.
Steve, we're going to talk about the Saints in depth later in the week. But I will say this, Steve. Alvin Kamara, who I left for dead, I thought he was way past his prime. He's going to be a problem. He doesn't usually burn the Bucs. Not usually. Bowles does a good defensive job on Kamara. But I'll say this, Steve. He looks like prime time Alvin Kamara right now. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully they have some guys who can chase him. And that's probably going to be Levante David. The big thing, Ira, is going to be the injury report when that shows up. You know, if Jordan Whitehead can't come back from his groin injury and Winfield is shaky to coming back, that's a nightmare.
They got
to
get Canty back on this field, Steve. It's time. It's Canty time.
It's time. All right, Sage, enjoy your Sunday, your football. Good luck to your Chiefs on Monday night if we don't talk to you before then. Hang in there, Bucks fans.